Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another Breakdown bonus episode coming to you on Thanksgiving. This is very abnormal. I never drop episodes on holidays because I know people are with their family. So if you happen to be tuning in on Thanksgiving, thanks for listening. I appreciate that. But if you're tuning in at a later date, no worries at all. Always just need to drop a Breakdown bonus episode, especially when I kind of feel like in a weird way, I related to the ex-girlfriend in this episode. So obviously, if you've listened, you know that in this week's main episode, it was a guy coming on, which never happens. What a fun little pleasant surprise. Talking about his breakup with his ex-girlfriend. And when you listen to a podcast like this, I am so guilty of this. And it's just so easy to kind of get on your high horse of being like, oh my God, she is so crazy. And to be fair, like, I am not saying I would do any of what she did in this episode or condoning any of that behavior. Let me make that very clear. But I do think there is something to be said about when that crazy switch gets flipped in a relationship. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I make this parallel a lot because it's literally scientifically true that the chemicals you experience in your brain during love in a relationship are the same as you doing hard drugs. And that withdrawal can be so strong and people respond to it in different ways. And I think especially when there are other factors at play, like religion and your upbringing and your plans for the future, you're not just losing a person, you're losing a future. And when you experience that kind of loss, which I know is what she mentioned, feeling like she had experienced, she felt like she had a loss through this breakup. That's a really powerful thing. You've lost this entire vision for your future. From the start of this relationship, when they got together and just kind of seamlessly fit into each other's lives, and then that first vacation where she took him to her family's plot of land and was like, okay, this is where we're living. This is where our kids are growing up. They were standing on a planned piece of land. And of course, if you have to force something, it's not right. But to her, like, that was a very real reality. Like, she thought that this was going to be her future. And I think our interviewee this week was very compassionate. As he said, you know, he realized that this is tough. Like, when you want to spend the rest of your life with someone and the other person doesn't feel the same way, it's devastating. And of course, your brain is going through those withdrawals, and all your brain wants to do is to get those feelings back. So what do you do if you don't have people in your corner telling you not to do crazy things? You start to do those things like showing up at somebody's doorstep when they weren't expecting you to be, because who would sit there for 3 hours other than someone who is so in love with you that they can't fathom letting you go? And I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you're invested enough in relationships and the idea of love to have probably been there yourself, maybe not to that much of an extreme, but I can look back on my youth, even though I'm still pretty young, but I look back on the things I did like in college that were so utterly cringy in the name of love or just trying to keep somebody's attention. Like, I remember in college, I had this fat crush on some guy who was like a big NFL fan for like a very specific team. And I'm from the South, like we're more like college football people, did not give a crap about the NFL. But I remember I turned on alerts for his favorite NFL team so that I could be like one of the first people to like it. So anytime he would see them pop up on his Instagram feed, it would be like liked by Abby Murphy, which is an insane thing to do, like to pretend to like something, to pretend to be something that I'm not for the sake of like what a guy thinking about me for 5 seconds. And so there are two things that I want to cover in this episode about the crazy switch getting flipped in all of us to try and put into words and to make sense why we feel this way when we lose somebody or we get broken up with. The first thing I want to cover is the scientific reason and like the actual psychological reason as to why we feel this way, just from my own like research. But also I want to touch on the religious aspect of it, because I feel like so many people who have grown up in that environment have experienced to an extent something that she, as in the ex-girlfriend in this episode, have gone through, where like you're experiencing some kind of sign, or maybe it's not even religious signs. Maybe you like really believe in tarot cards or something, and you really felt like the universe or your God was telling you one thing, and it just turned out that none of that was the case and none of that was actually going to come to fruition. So let's first dive into the actual psychological reasons why breakups make you crazy. I was reading psychologytoday.com, and of course, like, again, I've talked over and over and over again about like the actual chemicals that happen in your brain, like oxytocin and dopamine, all those things that happen that make you feel good when you fall in love, how when you don't get those anymore, it does feel like a drug withdrawal. But I think it's important to also dive into the emotions. And I had never really seen this put into words as to why breakups were so difficult. But in reading this article, again, on psychologytoday.com, it really made a lot of sense to me that a breakup is so significant, and I think is such a powerful emotional thing to experience, and why it resonates with so many people, even more so than like a death. I mean, obviously, like, death and grieving somebody is a lifelong process that never really goes away. I think a breakup has that kind of significance for people as well, in terms of just like the raw emotions that they feel. Is you're not just experiencing heartbreak in the sense of like, oh, I'm so sad to lose this person. You are experiencing a lot of those emotions that you would experience during some kind of death or loss. Like, you're going to experience grief, but you're also experiencing other emotions on top of that. So it's not just sadness or like disbelief or grief that this person is now out of your life, but you're also probably experiencing anger, because maybe you're angry at that person for making you feel this way. And I think a lot of that anger is sometimes stemmed from a sense of control, which I think is something that we saw in this main episode perfectly. If I just pretend that we're not broken up, then maybe things will change and then I don't have to feel this way anymore and I can fix this problem. And so a lot of that anger really stems from the frustration of like, if I could just make this change, then everything will go back to feeling normal. So grief and sadness and anger, but also I think the one thing that maybe people don't really vocalize because there's so much sadness in a breakup is like that sense of rejection. Like, this person knew you on the most intimate level, I'm assuming, if you were together for a significant amount of time, and for a person to see all of you and decide, no, I mean, is just blindingly painful. So I think when you put that into words, I think a lot of the reactions that we see from people post breakups, again, like within reason, start to make a lot more sense why it can be so devastating and why we see people do drastic things to try and relieve it. Because unlike something like a death, like, it feels like you can do something about it. And I think that's what makes people look crazy, because when we see somebody wanting somebody back after a death or they're experiencing just pure grief, like, you know that this is just how it is from now on. And there's, of course, sadness associated with that too, because there is nothing you can do to change what happened, and that triggers a sense of frustration. But like, if you have the person that you lost in front of you and you feel like to some extent you can manipulate the situation to just get things back to how they were, then in the moment those behaviors can feel very normal. Something else I really wanted to touch on in this particular breakdown bonus episode, and I'm actually really excited to talk about it, because if you listen to this podcast for a while, you know I come from a religious background, specifically a Christian background, and I have recently really been diving into the concept of religious psychosis. And if you don't know what religious psychosis is, it's basically, it can vary from a couple of things. You can feel like you're being punished by your God, you can have extreme guilt or shame, and you can also have unshakable beliefs and certain things. Like, you really feel like your God is telling you certain things. And that's a concept I have had a really hard time grappling with from like somebody who really does believe in science, but also has such a long history with faith. Okay, are there scientific ways that religion and the things that we feel like we're experiencing through religion can be explained? Or like, has everything I've ever believed in terms of like, I feel like I have a deity that is communicating with me, like, is that completely crazy to believe that that's something that could be true? I don't really have an answer for that yet, and that's something I've been working on, but I think it's an interesting concept, specifically when it comes to soulmates or whatever, because I think so many people have confirmation bias where they like have somebody that they're really wanting to be with, and sometimes you'll ask, your God for signs, and you just get all this confirmation bias to feel like your God is saying, oh yeah, this person is who you're supposed to be with. And then like the next day that person gets engaged or whatever, gets married, and it just turns out that that was like not what was supposed to happen. And religion is so personal that I don't want to discount how she was feeling, but I do think as somebody who has experienced this, I do think sometimes we look for signs in places that we shouldn't be looking for signs, or we feel like things are certain are signs that are not signs, in hopes that we can calm our nervous system down by being like, well, I really feel like God is telling me this. I really feel like this is something that I'm being told is going to happen. And therefore you start acting as if that's something that's going to come to fruition, when in reality you're living in a truth that does not exist. Like, that person is not supposed to be your boyfriend or your fiance or your husband. Like, this is a guy who is clearly telling you he does not want to be with you. And so to some extent, I think like, it's admirable that you can have such blind faith in something that is like clearly being thrown in your face that this is not going to happen. But at the same time, if you're going to still lean into religion, I do think logic is required sometimes, and it's beautiful to have faith. But at the same time, like, if somebody is telling you no, like, this is not going to happen, I feel like you should honor that person by respecting them and accepting the rejection. And if you really do believe that you are meant to be with this person, then you should know that nothing you force upon that person is going to make it happen. If really this is a relationship that's going to come to fruition, and you feel like your God is really telling you that it's going to happen, like, no amount of effort from you should either come in the way of that or actually make it happen. And that can be really frustrating, again, going back to the topic of control, feeling like you have control over a situation which you absolutely do not have any control over. And it just makes you look bad in the long run.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.